ask you a question. Have you ever made a promise and then didn't quite live up to fulfilling the commitment that you made? I don't know, has that ever happened where you made a promise to someone about something and you did not fully live up to the commitment? Yes, that would be me. In fact, it was just this Tuesday night, this last week, when I tell Kelly, I said, sure, hon, I'll be home for dinner 6 o'clock. I'll be there. Yes, 6:45. Call, honey, I'm walking out the door. I'm going to my car. I'm going to be home. Okay, 7:15. Honey, I stopped at the grocery store. Do you need anything? You know, maybe that would help, like ease the blow, soften the fact that I'm now really, really late. And then I'm at the grocery store, and what happens? I run into somebody from church at the grocery, and no joke, we stand outside after going through the line, and we talk for a half an hour. No joke. It is like after 8 o'clock, and I come home, and it's like, honey, I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? Sometimes we say things that we're going to do, and then we don't live up to them. And it tweaks us. But you know, what tweaks us even more is when we are let down by people who have made promises to us. And sometimes those promises are a lot weightier than just having to do with what time we'll be home on a busy evening. Some of us, if we think back in our lives, we say, yeah, you know, I think I still even may carry some scars of people who promised things to me that did not fulfill those. Some of the toughest is when parents promise us things. And man, we carry those. We carry those. It's kind of like something that's unfulfilled, and it's like a weight on our lives sometimes. Like, wow, man, they promised and they did not fulfill what they said they would do. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's a best friend. They promised to you about the way life was going to be together that went unfulfilled or was broken. Maybe it's a spouse. Made promises to you. Maybe even in front of the Lord, in front of even a congregation, and made promises that were broken. And boy, those can leave some pretty heavy scars, weights that we end up having to carry on our journey till we're free of those and forgive and learn how to release that person from those things. But I want to ask you this. If it's that challenging for us to deal with the unmet promises that people have made, how much more challenging is it for us to deal with saying, God, are you going to fulfill the promise that you made to me? You know, there's many people that are in this room and many people who are Christ followers, who if they were really honest, would say, you know what? I live with some discouragement. I live with some challenge because I believe that there were things that God spoke to me, promises that he made to me, and I am still not seeing those fulfilled in my life. God, what is going on? And the question that really rattles around in our spirits is, do God's promises sometimes fail? If we're really honest, we'll ask those questions. I want to deal this morning with that question, do God's promises sometimes fail? And I think that one of the things that would be important to begin with is recognizing that there's actually different kinds of promises that God uses in our lives. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but I want to share with you real quickly three types of promises that God will make in our lives. The first is what I would call a relational promise. a relational promise. These types of promises have to do with our position in the Lord and his continued presence in our life. And I want to tell you, everything that God promises to us about who we are in relationship with him, can I just tell you, ironclad. They never change. And I'll tell you something, it doesn't even matter whether we feel like he's fulfilling it or whether we see evidence right now today that is accurate. I'm telling you, you can take it to the bank. God's word, his promise is absolutely true about his relationship with us. They never fail. You never have to question that. I want to show you just a couple of scriptures and places where God has given us those promises. Just very quickly, there's many of these, but let me tell you about like this position that we have in Christ. John 5:24. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this about our position with him. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. If we hear and we respond in trust, if we say, God, I've heard your word. I've heard, Lord, that what you did on the cross for me is not just for the whole world, but Lord, it really is for me. God, and I put my trust in you. I accept what you've done. What does he say? This is promise. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe, simply just put my trust in what God did for me, what I could never do for myself. He says, you will have eternal life. And I love this next phrase. They will never be condemned. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Welcome to the family. You know what? You never, ever, ever have to doubt anything that is that relational kind of promise that you are part of God's family, whether I feel like it or not. You know, sometimes when we're in a family, I don't feel married every day. I don't feel married every day. That does not change the fact I am married. We are in this as one. Sometimes I don't feel like a parent. Guess what? I'm a parent. I am. It is apparent that I am a parent. It's who I am, right? It's not just something that I do. It's something of who I am. I am part of God's family. If we had more time, we could look at scripture saying where we have been adopted in as sons and daughters, that he is our father. Wow. It's beautiful and amazing, but our position in Christ is forever secured, and that is a promise for all those who have listened and who have believed in God's word. Ironclad, take it to the bank. Here, and then about his presence with us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the very last part of the very last words that are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says this, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That no matter what is going on in life, no matter how challenging things become during this age in which we are living, we can, again, take it to the bank that his presence is always with us. Now, we see, when we go back to the Old Testament, we see in several different places where God's promise was, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's even brought over and brought into the New Testament, that truth remains constant. It's his promise. And it doesn't matter whether we feel like it or we see the evidence of it, we can say, God, I know that your promise is true. It is that relational promise about our position with him in Christ as part of his family and his presence with us. They will never, ever change. They will never, ever fail. But there's a couple of other types of promises. There's other kinds of promises that I want to talk with you about because it become a little bit more challenging, and it's where this maybe we feel some of this wonderment about God. Do your promises ever fail? One of them is what it's. I struggled coming up with a title for what this is, and I just called it. It's the this and that type of a promise. That this is true. This is my word. This is my promise. And guess what? And that is true as well. See, sometimes we get caught up in this. I'll give you a really quick example. You know, how many of you have read scripture and have heard teaching and come to understand the promise of God that he is present to heal us? And we even read that by your stripes I am healed. Because of his wounds that I can have healing in my body. How many of you know that's a promise of God that we believe in? Absolutely. That is true. And this is also true, that everyone is appointed one day to die. I can take you to Hebrews and show you that. That's like all of us are appointed one day to die. Okay, so God, you're working healing in my body. That is your promise. Thank you, God. And then we die. What? How are these two things possible at the same time? Let me show you a couple of scriptures to go along with that. 1 John 4:4, one of the great promises that we quote often as believers. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Oh, wow, Lord, thank you. Your presence is with me. I know I have the promise of your presence. You have overcome the evil one. God, I know the greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I am an overcomer in Christ. He overcame to make me an overcomer. Amen? It's a promise. And this is also true. And here is another promise. 2 Timothy 3:12 through 13. And we could find lots of examples of these verses. Paul is writing and says, in fact, writing to his spiritual son Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. What? I don't know if I signed up for that. Oh, well, read on. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Can I tell you that, yes, Christ has overcome, and because he is present within us, we become overcomers in him. Greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. But let me tell you, sometimes when we're going through challenges, persecution, difficulties, it can feel like, well, God, I thought you said it was going to be this way. But he says, it is going to be that way, but I'm going to tell you something else that's also true, because it's also going to be this way. And in these this and that type of promises, when we read God's word, boy, it is so important that we hold those in tension. That we say, God, this is true. But I also see, Lord, in your word that says that this is true. And let me tell you what happens with immaturity and what happens with maturity in the Lord. Okay? This is what happens, I believe, when we're dealing with some immaturity in how we're viewing this. Okay? Sometimes we only hear the promises of victory. We only hear the promises of victory, and what ends up happening when a hardship comes is we become disillusioned. Man, God, I thought you said you were going to be that way. I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can trust you anymore. Because you said we were going to be victorious, and yet I'm going through this difficulty. But on the other hand, some may only hear the promises of difficulty and challenge, And they don't just become disillusioned, they become discouraged and they give up. Man, it is as bad as you said it was going to be. It is as bad. So I'm going to give up fighting for the redemptive purpose in this, even this dark and challenging situation. And so we can give up. We can either only see the promises that have to do with victory, okay? And then we become disillusioned when things don't go as we had hoped. Or we can only see those promises of like, man, it's going to go from bad to worse. It's going to be really difficult. A lot of challenges, a lot of trials. And we can become so discouraged, we throw in the towel and we stop fighting for that divine purpose that God has for us as people, as a church. I'm telling you, if we find ourselves in those situations, we have to look and say, God, I think that maybe you want to mature me to a different level. See, what happens with maturity is that we hold both of those together in the same hand. And we realize, God, this is your truth, that you have created me to be an overcomer, even in the most challenging of times. I want to tell you this. We have a slide. Go ahead and put the slide up. If you are hearing teachings or even prophetic words that are all roses and no thorns, beware. It's not biblical. If it's like somebody's teaching and it's all prosperity, and man, God doesn't want anything hard to happen to his kids, and you're going to be blessed going in and blessed going out, and it's going to be raining $100 bills. And that's the consistent message that we're hearing, and that we won't deal with sickness and we won't deal with those kind of challenges in our lives. Can I tell you, all roses and no thorns is not God's created order. It's not his created order. It's not biblical. It's not what we see in Scripture. What we see in Scripture is that there's both. And when we grab a hold of that reality and say, yeah, I'm going to face tough things. There's going to be things I'm going to have to go through in life. But God, you are going to give me the grace and the strength to face each one, because you are the overcomer, and in you I can be an overcomer even in the midst of the struggle. So there's those this and that type of promises that we read in his word. I'm going to give you one other type of promise that we get in his word, and that's this. And we don't just get these in the word, but we also get these through revelation to the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the ministry of the prophetic. But I'm going to tell you, there are the types of promises that we get that are partial. They're partial. When we don't see the whole thing, that we only get a glimpse. If you've ever seen film, like before it goes through the projector and it's on those big reels, and you know, it's like, man, you could just pull it out and there's like all these like little tiny pictures. Sometimes when we get a glimpse of the promise of God, it's like we only see one frame. We only see just the instant of it, and we don't see the whole movement and the story of all of what God is doing. It's partial. In fact, God's word tells us that there is going to be this reality. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, when he's done kind of talking about love right there, he goes into this in verses 9 and then in 12. He says this. He says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. And then in verse 12, he goes on and says, now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything perfectly clearly. And he's talking about when we're face to face with the Lord. We will see everything perfectly clearly. Now we know in part, then we will know completely. In part. See, there's these partial glimpses of what God is doing in our lives. And boy, when we only see part, it requires great maturity of us to hold on tightly to what he has shown us. And let me give you a story. Some of you have heard a little bit about Kelly and my journey over the years, but we grew up most of our lives in Southern California. Santa Maria was about as far as we came up, but there was many years we actually served Foursquare in our district, and we had the honor of leading all of the youth ministries for about 250 churches, running all the camps and leadership development and missions teams. And man, we had so much fun doing that. It was a great thing, and we told each other, "We're never leaving California. We are never leaving California. Ain't gonna happen." Because we love it here, and people love us here. We feel so comfortable. We love it, and we love the multicultural aspect. We love the food from all kinds of different ethnicities. Our kids were the only blonde kids in their classes at school, and we thought that was really cool. Like, we had no desire to go anywhere or do anything. And then we went to this dumb Foursquare conference. Man. And I haven't ever shared this part of the story with you, but it was kind of crazy because we're at this, and on the very last night of the conference, I got mad. I got really angry. I did. I was ticked off. I was one of the last people to leave the room. I mean, there was probably 2,500 people in the room, and I was probably one of the last dozen to leave because I was just so angry. Because in this service, the whole message was about this prophetic word being given to our entire movement. And this was the word: go east, get young, go to the cities and multiply. It's a good word. And man, and I felt something in my spirit. Now, I had no idea what it was. I just thought, God, this is such a great word for Foursquare. God, yeah, you call those people to that. And I was already serving the young. I was already doing youth ministry, you know, in 250 churches, and was, you know, it was an awesome thing. And so I was excited, man, this is really good. And why I was angry was because after this amazing service and this word, but what they did, and this is the last night of the conference, they said, "Okay, good night, everybody. See ya. See you next year when we all get together again." Why I was angry is because they didn't like open up the altars and like let people come and respond to this word right immediately. And I'm like, what I didn't recognize is it was kind of misplaced anger. See, the deal was God was starting to speak in my heart about moving and moving for this place that I loved in Southern California to the whole other side of the continent, to the East Coast. So man was like, man, this is so dumb, man. Why don't these Foursquare people know what they're doing? And why didn't they give people a chance to respond? And I was talking to myself. Sometimes when you're mad in church, you might need to ask the second question about God: what are you speaking to me that maybe I need to respond to? I don't know. What ended up happening is we came home, and over the next short season, I'm talking like 2 months, there were 13 different things that rocked us in very beautiful ways that caused us to realize, oh my God, God is talking to us. He is calling us to the East Coast. Where to go? That's for us? Wow. And so we went through an amazing summer where we led 4 summer camps, we sold our house, we bought a house on the East Coast, we did this whole thing. But it was, can I tell you, we only saw a frame, just a frame of that whole story. We didn't know why, we didn't know, God, what are you doing? We didn't know, all we saw was one little partial bit. Because why? Because we know in part. But we knew enough that we knew it was God. See, sometimes he's not going to give you the whole picture. Sometimes he's not going to tell you the whole story. Why? You can't handle the truth. Listen, if God would have showed us on that first day, like the whole story of our next couple of years, we would have said, yeah, forget it. No way are we going to go through this. No way are we going to go through the pain and the challenge and the brokenness and the tears and the joys and the successes. But it's like, no, that the cost would have been too great. We would have said, God, thank you, but that's for somebody else. See, he sometimes shows us part of the story because he's wanting to get us to the next place. So I want you to put that picture up of the guy on the mountain. I believe that a lot of times, I want you to picture this with me. Life is like that. Life is like, you know, there's ups and there's downs. We just saw that in scripture that we're overcomers, top of the mountain, but there's also valleys, there's trials, there's challenges, that's the way life is, right? I believe that sometimes God will show us part of a promise. For us, it was this word, go east. We didn't even know where. God, the East Coast is really big. You're going to have to get real specific for us. We're going to get lost on the journey. And he did. He, you know, it's like when we stepped forward in obedience, what happens is this. When we respond positively to the little that we know, it's like he takes us up to the top of the mountain so we can see what's on the other side. I want you to get that inked in your spiritual imagination. When God shows you part of a promise, he shows you a little bit of the story. And you respond obediently and say, God, I don't see the whole thing, but I know enough to know this is you. I'm going to obey and do what you tell me. You get up to this elevated position where now it's like, oh, now I see. Now I see what you're doing. Now I see more of the completion of the story that we would have never known if we had stayed down at the bottom of the mountain and said, until you show me everything, I ain't going up and doing all that work. It's a partial promise because we know in part. We even prophesy in part. Some of you have received prophetic words about your life, and you're like, man, God, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen either, but I'll tell you this. If you don't climb that mountain, you're never going to see what's on the other side. If you don't step out in obedience to what God has revealed to you, if you don't step out in obedience to what he has revealed to you, you're going to stay stuck. And again, we get stuck in these little pools of immaturity. It's like, I'm stuck. I'm not moving until he shows me the whole thing. See, God calls us to obey even that which is partial and we don't fully understand. But when he shows us enough so that we know, this is the voice of the Lord, we can trust him to take that next step. We can trust him. And there's some beautiful reasons, I think, that God beckons us with these partial promises. Can I tell you one of the reasons why I think that God uses these partial promises? He wants us to trust the promise maker even more than the object of that promise. You're going to be married someday, right? You've heard that word, like you're single. It's like, man, thank you, God, I'm going to be married one day. And then, you know, you go through college and then you do some stuff and you do some ministry and you get a job and all of a sudden you turn around and it's like, wow, a decade's gone by and I don't know, what happened with that? God, you said I was going to be married. Well, I don't understand. See, I believe one of the reasons God just shows us in part is because he wants us so desperately to come to him, to put our trust in him. He is the lover of our souls. And here's a promise. He does all things well. He does all things well. And so he beckons us into this deep relationship where not everything is going to go the way that we imagine, even when we hear in part or see part of the picture. Three kinds of promises. One's relational. Take it to the bank. Ain't ever going to change. You hear God's word and put your trust in God's word. Guess what? Your place in his family is secure. It says you have passed from death to life. That's one type of promise. But then there's these other types of promises. The this and that type of promise. You're an overcomer. Mm-hmm. And you're going to face a lot of difficulties and trials along the way. Whew. Maturity. Holding those together. Holding those in my hands simultaneously together brings maturity in our lives as we follow the Lord. And then there's this partial type of promise where we just get a glimpse. We don't see the full picture. But God uses that to deepen us, to beckon us to a deeper faith, trusting in him, the promise maker. Okay, let's breathe. I believe this is a maturing word in all of our lives, in all of our stories. Because we do, when we put our heads on our pillows at night and close our eyes, sometimes we wonder, God, do your promises fail? What we see in his word is that his promises never fail. But we only see part of the picture, and we don't know all that he's doing. Till we take those steps, climb the mountain.